Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
It is such a privilege today to have Tom with us. This is Sharon's younger brother, and it's such a privilege to have him with us. Come here. I was going to try and make up a whole bunch of stuff about you and give you a really long introduction, but what I want to do this morning is I want to pray for him. Would you join with me? I believe God wants to use Tom this morning to touch our lives. And he's wanting to do a new thing even through Tom, so let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for the privilege that you give us of ministry. I thank you so much for Tom and for his heart and desire toward you and the mission of his life. I thank you, God. I just pray that your anointing would rest upon him. Lord, that you would take him where you want him to go this morning, beyond any plans that he may have brought to this platform. Just use him to touch and to heal and to strengthen throughout this congregation. May your spirit, may your presence be in this place. Bless Tom. Bless his family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Love you, brother. Love you. Good morning. Well, it's great to finally be here. I was scheduled to be here last year and was really looking forward to come because I have visited about every church that my brother-in-law and my sister have pastored, haven't I? And I have to be honest with you. I have to tell you right up front, you are by far the best-looking congregation that they ever pastored. So give yourselves a hand there. And this is by far the most beautiful church that they've ever pastored. This is really fantastic. This must be a wonderful place to come every week, not only because of the fabulous facilities, but because of the spirit of praise that is here. And I was thinking this morning as I was watching and enjoying your worship team, that really, that's what churches should specialize in, really, is praise. You don't find it very much anywhere in the culture, do you? I mean, when you turn on the news at night, do you ever hear them say, "This is Fox News reporting. Tonight, Syria marches across the Middle East. But God is in control." Have you ever heard that? This is CNN. CNN reporting tonight that the economy is terrible, but God is our provider. Have you ever heard that anywhere from Wolf Blitzer? No, me neither. It's here among God's people where we specialize in praise, where we can come together and say, though the mountains tremble, and the earth falleth into the sea, our God reigns. His kingdom is forever. And he will be established. Right? This is the place you find that. When you go to work and you have your first business meeting of the week, they call you all in there and they say, "Revenues were down last quarter. But we're not going to lay any of you off because God is our provider." Do you hear that at work? Not very often, do you? It's here amongst God's people that we take the time in our week and set it aside to get together and to give praise and honor to God. And so let's do that this morning, can we? Before we do that, I have to, oh, by the way, my mother's here. And I wanted to give special recognition to my mother and my other sister, Linda. And I'm just reminded as I stand here before you how grateful that I am to have a mother who has prayed for me for many years. I'm going to get through this, okay? When Sharon told me she was coming, I got kind of worried about that. Moms, you don't know how important that is for a child to know that whatever they're facing, whatever they're going through, and you can't see the light of day and you don't know if it's really going to work out, to know that you have a mother who's praying for you. It's powerful beyond words. My mother's my greatest fan. I only have one fan, maybe two. But my mother is my greatest fan. About 5 or 6 months ago, my daughter got married. She came to the wedding. Beautiful wedding in Atlanta. And my mother came and my sisters came, and it was great to catch up with them. And so my wife is kind of like my mother. I say I have more than one fan. I have two fans. My wife, Nancy, and my mother. So in my daughter's wedding, I was going to sing for my daughter's wedding, whether my daughter wanted me to sing or not. You follow me? When the plans were laid, and I said to her, I said, you better check with Christina. She may not be having a formal wedding, and she may not want her dad to sing. You better check with her. It's her wedding. Let her plan it the way she wants to. And she said, no, I'm planning the wedding with her, and you're singing, okay? So anyway, my mother comes, and my sisters come, and I sing for the wedding. We have a good old time. And at the end of it, my mother says to me, Tom, I'd love to hear you sing. You have a wonderful gift for singing. You should sing. You know what that does for you? To know that your mother is not only praying for you, but she's rooting for you too. Is that good? So that no matter what happens in life, again, no matter what storm you go through, to know that there's somebody in your corner, somebody rooting for you, somebody praying for you, is powerful beyond words, isn't it? Powerful beyond words. So I want to acknowledge my mother and thank you for being here. One other quick housekeeping note before we get started, really. Someone came up to me when I first arrived. I was shaking hands, greeting people. And someone on the praise team, who shall remain unnamed, said to me, oh, you're Sharon's brother. I said, yes, I'm her brother. And she said, now I'm trying to get you straight. Are you sort of the... And you can see she was searching for words here. She said, are you the crazy one that went to Hawaii and sort of was homeless for a year or so on the beach? Every family has one, but I'm not him. You know you got one in your family. But I'm not him. But I love him. He's so wonderfully unique and individual. I love him, but I'm not him. In fact, I told her, I said, I kind of wish that was my story. It's kind of cool, but that's not me. I'm the middle child, and as I said, I visited about every church they pastored. They would invite me to come to their church somewhere, and I would show up, and I would walk in the door, and I would see wiring hanging from the ceiling. And drywall gone, and floors removed to be replaced. And there he was, just pastoring away. I said, are you senior pastor or head contractor? I don't know which. So when they invited me to come here, and Sharon was telling me what a beautiful church you had, I said, well, thank God he finally got to a church where he didn't have to do any construction or carpentry work. He did, didn't he? Yeah. But you know, if he could improve on this, that's fantastic. All right, praise the Lord. Turn with me real quick. I wanted to read a scripture this morning. I think it's important to sort of start out with a little scripture. Psalm 46. I started to say turn in your Bibles, but I probably should say turn in your cell phones, your Bible apps, Psalm 46. I want to read this before we get started. It's sort of what we've been talking about. This is a place of praise, the place that we're in right now. And we're with people whose life is filled with praise. And praise, of course, produces gratitude. And have you noticed that grateful people are happier people? Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that whiners have a hard time being happy? Have you noticed that? But grateful people seem to be happier people. Psalm 46 is a guy who's really going through it. The world is, as he sees it, is sort of falling apart before his very eyes. Sort of like kind of what we're dealing with today when we turn on the news. We see what's going on in the Middle East. We see what's going on in our culture, our country. It seems to be disintegrating before our very eyes. And the psalmist writes this. God starts it out right, doesn't he? God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. Sound familiar? He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. Is there any better definition for church than that? Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. One songwriter was so inspired by this psalm that he wrote this little song. You might have heard it before. It goes like this. A mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the floods of mortal ill prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, a man of God's own choosing. You ask who this may be. Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same. And he will win the battle, and though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not at him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. Aren't you glad for that? One little word shall fail him. That word above all earthly power, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours, to him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever, his kingdom is forever, his kingdom is forever and ever more.
It's hard to believe that song is almost 500 years old, isn't it? When you look at the world today, it seems like it could be written 5 minutes ago. Right? But this is the way of life. This is the way of humanity. And I'm so thankful we don't always get what we deserve. Aren't you? That God's grace is powerful and prevailing and moving. And I heard a song about that the other day that I hadn't heard in many years. I heard a choir perform it a week or two ago. And I told my wife, I said, I want to sing that for Pastor Bill's congregation, because it stirred something in me about God's amazing grace. God's grace is so pervasive and so powerful, and his Holy Spirit is so relentless that he keeps pursuing us and pursuing us and pursuing us. In spite of the stupid mistakes that we made, in spite of the errors that we have in our lives, in spite of us, God's love is more powerful and greater than our own bad choices. Isn't that what the story of the prodigal son is about, that Jesus told? So I heard this song, and it rang so true to me, and I wanted to sing it for you. So if you'll play that, we'll do that.
Amazing grace will always be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary,
to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my fallen soul. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. If not for grace, my soul would be a drifting ship with no safe harbor from the angry waves. But Calvary's cross shines brightly through the darkest storm, and just in time His mercy rescues me. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my fallen soul. He looked beyond my fault and he saw my need.
Isn't that a great song? A few years ago, about 5 or 6 years ago, I was telling my sisters this story when they came to visit me. They had never been to my home in Atlanta before. So I was showing them my home and walking them around, giving them the tour. It's a typical Atlanta home. You know, they all look kind of the same, really, unless you get into the really nice neighborhoods. But mine is a typical Atlanta home, and they're nice. I've been blessed, really blessed. 4 or 5 years ago, I felt like the Lord told me to move. We went looking for homes, and to me, a house is a house. If it keeps the rain off, I'm good, right? Women don't feel that way. My wife didn't feel that way, but for me, a house is a house if it keeps the rain off. But we go looking for homes, and we went about 45 minutes north of where we were living and found a nice place that was at the right price, and I'm a cheapskate. I make your pastor look like, you know, I'm a cheapskate. So I'm looking at the house, I'm thinking, well, this is a pretty good price for this house. And so my wife calls me and says, I'm going to make an offer. What should I make? And I said, well, this is the number. And I gave her a ridiculous number that was so low that I knew they wouldn't accept it, so I could be off the hook, you know. If this is really God, they'll accept this number, right? So she comes back and she says, we missed the number. And I said, oh, really? I'm at work. I'm like, so we missed the number. She said, yeah, I got it for like $500 under your number. And I said, well, I guess we're moving. I mean, I guess we'll sign the papers. So we signed the papers. And 1 week after we put down the money, which was, for me, it was a substantial amount of money. It took a lifetime for me to accumulate. It was $50,000 or $60,000, I forget what it was, for the down payment. We put down the money, and they came into my place of employment a week after I had signed the papers and put down the money, and they said, everybody get up off out of your desks, leave all of your stuff here except your personal belongings, head out the front door. This company has gone into bankruptcy and it's closing. So there I am. All my money invested in this house. We've got no place. I mean, I've got a house, but... So how many of you are optimists? When you face a situation, you say... You're kind of half full kind of people. You say, well, this is a great opportunity. How many of you are like that? How many of you are like me? And it happens and you say, I might be homeless. I'm 56. I shouldn't say that. You'll guess my sister's age if I say that. I'm beyond middle age. And I'm out of a job in a depressed economy. I may never find a job. How many of you are more like that than the first example? Okay. That's who I am. I'm not proud of it. I freely admit it. I would rather be the half full kind of guy. But by nature, I'm the half empty kind of guy. Right? And so my first thought was, I assumed that I was going to lose everything. I mean, that's how the world works, doesn't it? The bank is not your friend after you put down the earnest money, right? So I was telling my sisters I knew I was going to lose the house. And it wasn't heartbreaking to me to lose the house. A house is a house. What was heartbreaking to me was to sort of start over again and to lose all the money that I'd accumulated and saved for over the years. That was the hard part. So I told them that it sent me into sort of a tailspin. I didn't quite know what to do. The first thing you normally think of, you get panicked, you know, and you want to get your resume together and you want to, you know, right? You want to go job hunting that morning at like 3 o'clock in the morning because you can't sleep. You want to start knocking on doors, hoping somebody will be there, right? But I said, what I began to do, and I really don't know why, this is not really my nature, is every morning I would get up, I would get a cup of coffee, I would sit out on this little deck patio that the Lord had provided, I would sit there with my coffee, and I would sit there with my Bible, and I would start a prayer like this every day. I would say, Lord, I'm so grateful that you provided this house for me. This is a beautiful view, and I've enjoyed every minute that I've been here. Not very many minutes. Everything's still in boxes. But every minute that I've been here, I've really enjoyed it, and I really appreciate you providing it for my family. Now, keep in mind, this is not a faith kind of thing. This is not... fill in the blank, your favorite faith teacher. This is that. I'm not expecting to keep this house. I'm expecting that this house will be gone, that I'll be in it for. In Georgia, it's a fairly fast foreclosure process. You can be foreclosed on within, technically when you breach the contract, which is miss the first payment. Usually within 3 months, you'll be out of your house in Georgia in a foreclosure. But each day, I'm starting out because I want my heart to be right, see? And I want to thank God for what he's provided. If you would have told me that 6 years later, I'm still in that house, I'd be amazed. But that's where I am. I still didn't unpack everything just in case. But I'm still in the house. And if you ask me now, how did you do it? I would have to tell you, I really honestly do not know. I don't. I never look at Craigslist. Never do Craigslist. I always get ripped off if I buy anything on Craigslist. Right? So I thought, well, I'll go online there at Craigslist, see what's going on, you know. Went looking through the one ads and found this guy advertising for a marketing kind of person. I thought, well, I kind of did that work before in my previous experience when they closed down the
I called the guy, set up a meeting, we met, and I got a job. I thought that was so bizarre. But though the earth shake and the mountains fall into the sea, our God reigns. God's in control. And my worst enemy is me. The fear that grips my heart over so things. So what I did, and then I'll turn it over to you for a minute before I start preaching. He warned me not to preach. Every morning I did that. And I took my Bible out one day and I read Joshua 4, and there's a story in Joshua 4 about how the Israelites are crossing the Jordan River to finally take possession of the promised land after 40 years of wilderness wandering. Moses is dead. Joshua's the head guy. They come across to the Jordan River. The Jordan River's at flood stage. Well, isn't it like God to lead them there in the wrong time of year? Right? It's the wrong time of year for an entrance into the promised land. It's flood stage. The rivers are overflowing. The river's overflowing its banks. God provides a miracle and they get across. And Joshua says, all right, before we go any further, priests, I want you to start collecting some big stones. We're going to build a rock wall. Remember? You remember the story? We're going to build a rock wall. Right here? Well, it's not in front of a subdivision. Yeah, right here. It's in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, right here. Why right here? Why stop? We've just got into the promised land. Why stop and build a wall? And Joshua says, because I want you to remember. Now, this is key. Because we all get amnesia. And this is what the Lord was telling me. You get selective amnesia all the time. You can remember the minutest details about stupid stuff, but you forget sometimes the really important stuff. So he says, build a wall right here by the river, out in the middle of nowhere. Build it well, build it high, build it proud. And they said, well, why? Why go to all this trouble? And he says, because your kids will come by someday. And your kids will say, what is this beautiful wall doing out in the middle of nowhere, Daddy? And you'll say to them, you'll say, because God brought our people out of Egypt and they crossed over the Red Sea. And when we got here, the River Jordan was flooding its banks. And God led us across the sea in the middle of flood stage and brought us into the promised land in spite of 40 years of grinding, of whining and groaning. In spite of us, God was faithful to his covenant. And God will always be faithful to his covenant because that's who God is. God can be nothing else. Right? And so when your kids say, what is this beautiful wall doing out in the middle of nowhere? You tell them, because God brought us here and God will keep us here. It's getting late. So I said, I'm gonna build my own wall. I came inside to my wife and I said, I want to build a wall. She said, you can't build anything. You're the worst. Let's hire it out. I said, no, not that kind of wall. I don't want to build that kind of wall. I'm talking about a wall of memories. And she says, well, what do you mean? I said, help me with this because sometimes I have selective memory. The Lord has showed me that I have selective amnesia. Help me with this. Help me remember the times God was faithful to us in our life together. And she said, well, you remember the time that you felt like you were called to Bible college and we had just gotten married and we're on our honeymoon and we got about $800 in wedding cash and you told me you felt like God was leading you back there. And so we took the $800 and put it in the gas tank in your big old nasty gas-guzzling van and we drove it all the way to Springfield, Missouri. And we didn't count the cost and we got there and all the money was gone. We had no place to stay. You weren't enrolled in school. You hadn't been accepted. You got no job. You got no place to go. And we got there and wondered what in the world was going to happen. And then we found this couple. We saw an index card on a bulletin board somewhere with a number on it. Duplex for rent. And we called there, and it happened to be
a retired minister owned this duplex. And we interviewed with them. And we pulled up. Now get this. We pull up there. And they say, the rent, the deposit is this. And the rent is this. And is that acceptable? And we said, yeah, except for the deposit and the rent part. It's perfect. And they said, well, what do you mean? And they said, well, I said, well, I don't have a job yet, and I haven't been accepted in school, but I believe God has called me here, and I just believe I'll have it. And they looked at me like I was from outer space, and they said, hold on a second. They got over together and they huddled, and they came back, and they said, do you have any leads on a job? Do you have applications out anywhere? No, we just arrived yesterday. Okay, but you feel sure that you can get a job. And the whole time I'm thinking, I don't know. I think so. Right? And they rented to us without a deposit and with the promise to pay the rent when I got employed. And I said, let me put that little brick. You remember the Pink Floyd song, Another Brick in the Wall? Let me put another brick in the wall. About 15 years ago. And I don't know who this story is for. It's for somebody. But about 15 years ago, I went through a period of my life that was very, very dark. It's inexplicable. But a bout of depression came upon me that was so great that I actually feared for my life for a while. I became very concerned. I began to do all the research I could on it. I consulted specialists, I consulted doctors, and finally I saw a depression study advertised in the paper that Emory University was doing. I enrolled myself. Doctors say sometimes traumatic events happen. It sort of throws the chemicals off in the brain. Did you have any traumatic experiences recently? Lost a job, death in the family, none of that. Don't know why, inexplicable. But I was really in a deep, dark place. I continued to go to church, but I'll be honest with you, I never heard a word anybody said. When I would sit out in the congregation and I'd sort of hear the preacher going, it'd be like, wah, 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 wah. Nothing. When I would go into the service, I would pray and I'd say, oh God, please, you've got to help me today. I don't know if I can go by one more week. You've got to help me. I can't do it. The medication is not working. Help me. This would go on week after week. One day, I walked into the service. I sat in the back. Remember, the glass is half empty. Now my glass was completely dry. I walked into the church. I sat in the back. And I can remember praying, God, if you don't help me, I think it could be over for me. I just can't bear the weight of this depression anymore. I just can't do it. Couldn't tell you what the sermon was on. It was wow, 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 wow. But at the end of it, they started singing this song that I had never heard before. It's this song right here. Go ahead and play it. They were singing this song. And as the congregation began to sing it, I just broke. I ran to the altar. And I mean, in a flash, it all lifted.
in and out of situations. That tug of war in me. All day long I struggle for the answers that I need. Then I come into your presence. All my questions become clear. And in that single moment, no doubt will interfere.
And here's what I heard.
In the presence of Jehovah God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the King.
Another brick in my wall. There's a place the Lord's provided, a place for us to rest, a place to find our answers in our hour of distress. Now there's never any reason for us to give up in despair. Just slip away and breathe His name. Oh, He'll surely meet us there in the presence. Sing it with me. Begin to worship God.
Of Jehovah,
hallelujah,
God Almighty, Prince of Peace.
God can do more in 1 minute than we can do our entire lives.
Troubles vanish, hearts are mended, yes, in the presence of the King.
One more time, in the presence of Jehovah, just worship the Lord today.
In the presence of Jehovah, He's God Almighty. He's my Prince of Peace. Troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the King. In the presence of the King.
So I put that little brick into my wall, put the mortar around it, wrote it in my little journal, And I go back to that journal all the time. When I begin to, when the glass begins to appear half empty instead of half full, and I realize that I serve a covenant God who looked beyond my fault and he saw my need again and again and again and again. And his nature is to be loving and faithful.